Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I think last year's success recipe is not this year's success recipe. Last year, we were all questioning Brandon Bean's decision to not give Josh a number one receiver. Buffalo Bills probably has the best trio of talent at the tight end position in the whole league. Those guys can't play, but that's not a recipe for longevity when you have a third and six. You cannot be in 12 or 13 personnel. Well, you have, you know, gotta have the situations where somebody on the outside has to consistently beat man to man.
That is Cam Newton, his assessment of the Bills offense.
Best tight end room in the league? Did he say that? Right?
Mike? I think they're a pretty...
Kincaid's good.
Yes.
If he can stay on the field. I like the roles that Hawes and Knox are in. I don't know. There's Cam Newton saying some stuff about the Bills offense. Just like we say stuff about the Bills offense. You don't have to agree with what we say. I'm not sure I agree with everything Newton said there. Getting someone who can win outside is like, wow, that's very high on the list for sure. So the tight end thing just sort of stood out there, but not to dwell on that. 803-0550 is the phone number. Nate Geary in for Mike Schoep today. I'm the Bulldog. I promised we'd go right back into calls, so we're going to go right back into calls. Eddie is first up this segment. Hi, Eddie. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, nice job. Nice filling in. Next man up, right, Gary? Okay.
That's right.
I'm impressive, guys. Thank you. It's kind of a fresh breath of fresh air, actually, guys. Just kind of, I needed to kind of let the air out and let it, you know, diffuse a bit. It was nice to hear that Bulldog had a good night after the game, because I actually did too, and just let it go. I just wanted to just, like, that's the one I don't want to watch the tape on.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. You know, and I loved hearing that, so that's good. But, you know, I personally, it's funny, I told my dad, he asked me before the game. I go, yeah, I'm usually wrong anyway, but I'm like, yeah, I don't have a good feeling. He's like, why? I go, because down in Miami, their offense is on point, and we've always had trouble with it. Even when we beat them, their offense is on point against us. So I was concerned, and they, to be honest with you, the way we've beaten them like a drum, there's probably one team they want to beat the most, and it's got to be us. But not that they had it together to do it, but You give them enough opportunity, it starts to build. They think this is the chance. This is the time we can put them.
Sure,
And they did it, you know. But it goes back to my other point, which goes back to the week before. And this is the way seasons are, marathons. This is how I view it. And if I can't take the ups, then I really can't handle the downs. And so I didn't celebrate for beating the Chiefs. But if there's one team I want to beat, it's the Chiefs, man. Mm. And so I'm going to enjoy that week. I don't care if we didn't deserve it or we did deserve it, or I don't even care. If Mahomes and that team walks off the field, irregardless of the fact that maybe, you know, what we should do later, or I can't buy into that. And I just feel like if you can't take the ups, then these downs are going to just even smash you harder. And these are going to happen, especially this year. Never seen so many high-quality quarterback teams handle massive adversity this year. And it just seems like that was the day we were going to have every time, as you said. we decided to get our game together, something else would happen. I mean, James Cook, Josh fumbling, Josh yep. throwing the interception in the end zone. I mean, these things just don't happen. Eventually, the team is just going to constantly be deflated. And I'm not making excuses because I hated their intensity. I hated the way they approached the game. And but thank you guys for everything you're doing.
All right, Eddie, appreciate the call there. I don't know. I don't want to make it sound like I was in a good mood after the Bills lost this game. It's just that
you weren't ready to burn the world.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's funny. I mean, I went to the joint I always go to, and there it was pretty 6:30 on Sunday night. They were shutting up at 7:15, so like it wasn't a long run. But there were a few Bills fans there, and there was one couple sitting at the bar, and they recognized me from this job, and we just started talking about the game, and they yelled some, I yelled some, and we're just sort of throwing back beers and just commiserating, and then the dude just I love this so much. They're just like, but really, I'm fine.
Yeah,
they're fine, right? I'm like, yeah, they're probably fine.
Yeah.
Now it's Wednesday, and I'm not sure. That was probably the beer talking Sunday night. Like, I'm not sure they're fine.
The thing about games like Sunday is that how long, like, at what point was it like, okay, this game's actually over? I think it was probably the first long Achan touchdown where I was like, all right, this is over. But even after the Josh fumble, I'm like, well, it's going to be much harder, but they're still going to do it. Like, they're still going to do it. Right. So that game happens every other year where it's just like...
That's why I asked Eric about it. Like, when you're watching a game, like, you're just waiting for the thing that's going to get them right.
It reminded me of the Jaguars game.
Because I kind of do that, too. I'm just... Is it... All right, just come on. Do the thing. It's like the kid with the stick poking the... Like, do something, right? That meme. That's what I feel like watching.
Just do something.
Just do something. Yeah. Do something, and then it never happened on Sunday. And yeah, that is familiar, like the Jacksonville game from you're talking about the Urban Meyer nice.
Oh yeah, nice. Yes I am. That was the game that you would have gotten a lot of fire Brian Daboll calls.
Yeah, no question. All right, thank you for the call there. Adam is up next. Hi Adam, thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey guys, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Great. So knowing that. This roster's gotten older, thinner. The cap situation's in a scary, scary spot, and it's been almost semi-cap hell. I want to ask, if this season results in either a first-round bounce out, missing the playoffs, or not even winning the division, do you think the GM should be fired? Now, I know that people are skeptical about like changing the head coach, so I'm saying maybe just the GM, because you don't really know who the next hot GM is. Whoever it is, I'd rather take someone that works under Howie Roseman because he's like the best GM right now in the
right,
league.
Right.
But, like, do you think, I want to ask you guys flat out, if any of those three results happen, do you think the GM should be fired?
I'm going to stumble with that phrasing.
Yeah, I feel
like,
the same way.
He should be fired. I think there is, if they don't get right here, what is get right? Win the division. They got some work to do to pull that off. If you looked at New England's schedule, it's hellaciously easy. But whatever. They're not great. They could stumble. They're 8-2. It's kind of incredible to me that they're on a 7-game winning streak. I think.
Yeah.
We covered this a little bit earlier. I feel like with what has happened with Bean going all the way back to the day after the draft and going as hard as he went about what they had, what he believed they had. Look, I signed Josh Palmer. Yep. We scored our 30 points and all this stuff. And like, it's idiotic to be, focused so much on adding receiver because look at our results last year. Right away, it was not like the most heated point to make, but my objection to all of that is, I didn't enjoy the way he, went off on our friends and coworkers and whatever, but whatever, tempers flare. I that's not unforgivable or anything to me. So like, I'm not deeply offended or anything. I just thought banking on your results from last year, holding that up in a year where your turnover differential was so incredible. And this is not me not expecting them to take the ball away or discrediting them, because they've been great at taking the ball away year over year over year under Sean McDermott. They only gave it away 8 times, which is ridiculously low. Yeah. And just regression in that area was bound to make this year harder for them offensively. Not so much because they won't take it away, which they aren't doing as much, by the way, but and they had the little streak of not losing the turnover differential. But I just thought they would lose the ball more often this year, and that would make it harder to have the same offensive results. And they are. Like, the games they've lost, they've given the ball away, and it's hurt them. So that puts that puts more pressure on everything else, right? It puts more pressure on receivers to get open. You're just not going to be in as many comfortable games and comfortable situations. And so I feel like being back in April – sort of put a target on, like, boy, that better work. You better be right. And what did the trade deadline teach us? That he already, whether it was he arrived at this conclusion himself or other people in the organization had an intervention with him. I mean, yeah. I don't want to exaggerate, but like, we need a guy. He went shopping. He went big game hunting at the deadline. I absolutely believe everything that I heard about what they were trying to get accomplished last Tuesday, and he didn't get anything done. I think a part of the reason he was as frustrated, bordering on angry about that last week when he spoke is because he knows. He's out there. He went out. He walked on a plank he built for himself, and now he's at the end of it. And if this doesn't come together, I think he, for the first time, is going to be more criticized than the coach, which says a lot.
Hard to do.
Right?
Because he's got his warts.
I think that's where we are.
I also think, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, like, I think last year lied to them a little bit.
Yeah.
And to assume that they were going to have an NFL record for most games they've won the turnover battle was not a realistic thing to lean back on. Like, you can assume, like, even if it regressed only by 10 or 15%, one score games, a 10 or 15% regression in turnover rate is going to matter in those games. And they've lost, other than last week, one score games that they lost the turnover battle in. So a little of it is their performance offensively last year in a season your quarterback won the MVP was bound to regress. And instead of really saying, hey, Josh Palmer's it, and this is the move you're getting on offense, they looked at it and said, hey, Josh Palmer's what you're getting on offense. We're putting all of our horses in on the defense. And to kind of leave the offense to say, my whole philosophy is they scored 30 last year, I'm good. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So I got to take him at his word. That was a flawed, at the time, I think we all thought it was flawed, but hey.
Yep. I've got them at 3 lost fumbles and 5 picks so far. So they've got 8 turnovers, which was, I believe, their entire total through 17 games last year.
Yep.
If you're scoring at home, we are 9 games because you can't divide 17 evenly, so we're not halfway through, but you get the point. They've already reached their turnover total from last year, and they still have 8 games left to play. So I think that's tough. It was also, I think, foreseeable.
Yes.
Thanks for the call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I think the passing game is a fatal flaw right now. And I just think from a personnel standpoint, they are simply not good enough, period. And I know they have Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is awesome. I think Josh Allen is, you're starting to feel the weight of the situation on his shoulders, because there is just not a lot of answers with this, with what's going on here right now. And I get it. Bills offense is one of the best rushing teams in the league when they're on. That's great, but that can't be the identity of the offense, because their defense isn't good enough for them to be this mauling run first team.
It's Matt Harmon, he and Nate Tice, Yahoo Sports, talking about the NFL and the Bills here. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Quick thought for you on Brian Daboll. We finished last segment talking about the idea of, like, will he come back, and would you bet him to be the next OC? Not necessarily this year, but of course, it's going to be an idea that people talk about until he has a different job or the Bills have announced who their OC for next year is. We don't know if that's going to be Joe Brady. One thing about Daboll that I'll say, if anybody out there is, well, remember, he didn't run the ball to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to say, not in my eyes. I never thought that they didn't run it enough.
Mm-hmm.
He said one of my favorite things that a Bills coach has ever said. I think it was some version of, if I'm remembering, it's like 5 years ago. People talk about balance when you lose. And that is the most correct thing anyone's ever said.
Yeah.
They win a game, we are not talking about the balance. They won. They lose a game, and it's, well, what happened to your balance?
Right.
And to me, that's right. That's so right. We never talked about lack of yak yards. Josh is going for 462 in a game. How many yak yards? Yeah. Who cares? Nobody ever cared. So that's the thing I always liked about the pairing of them together. I never cared about turnovers. I never cared about the yak yards. I never cared about the rushing. That's just me. I'm just an idiot. I said this yesterday. My entire football brain lives in the 8 days between the perfect game and 13 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and I can't get out of that spot. And then I was reminded that the 5 weeks prior to that was also the Bills going scorched earth,
right?
Offensively.
Right. They went nuclear at the end of the
season. They went nuts. They got held back by a hurricane.
Right.
And then after that said, watch this.
Well, even in the second half of that game, they realized they could throw the ball.
Right. And it's I will admit to a fault, I am probably living for that month and a half to 2 months, and mm-hmm. that might be fool's gold that I'm chasing, but I never cared how often they ran it. The second half of the Bucs game when they lose in overtime, it's, oh yeah, here we go. We're back. And 13 seconds is his last game with the Bills?
Yes, yes.
Watch that game and come back with, got to make sure we're more careful offensively. Woo! Ooh, no thanks.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Dorsey picked it up kind of where it was from there, and the turnovers showed up, and it wasn't necessarily as good.
I guess I wonder what appetite, I mean, McDermott is the one who always comes up for this. What appetite does Bean have for a coordinator that, when he was here, didn't care about balance, didn't care about running the ball, and they were amazing? Because one comment that I remember Bean making in the offseason, I think it was at the Combine with Pat McAfee, is he said that he regretted not having a more physical offense that could run the ball in the winter in Buffalo
in those earlier years when they were losing in the 13 seconds game.
Right.
I don't know if you mentioned the 13 seconds game, but that sounds opposite of what Dable was as your coordinator. So do you still feel that way? Has this season changed anybody's mind up there on that? Because if the GM thought in February that it was a mistake to not have more of a run game in those early playoff years with Josh Allen, then are they going to want the coordinator that never ran the ball?
Good question. Again, it's not
and
like
is Dable the same as he was then? Like, he didn't have James Cook.
Right. Devin Singletary.
Would Dable run the ball more with this offense than he did with that offense? Probably. Even if he didn't run it as much as Brady does, he would run it more, I'm sure, because he never had a run game. He never had a line like this. He never had a running back like this, which, again, is also on purpose, right? Like Bean saying in February, I wanted a more physical team. I can't have everything. You got to make some concessions. He didn't do that at line. He didn't do that at running back. So he's wanted this run game. Right. And would Dable come in and say, hey, listen, you don't have to pay Connor McGovern. You don't have to pay David Edwards. Just plug in guys there. Figure it out. I don't need a good backup running back to James Cook. We need to be – would he be someone that comes in and says, I don't need all that. I need separators. Right. And what's Brady been saying I need for 2 years?
Actually,
I don't need Stephon Diggs. Brady, I don't need –
Brady says, I don't care. Give me whoever. Right. I'll make it work.
Right.
Like he's kind of said – I mean, he also said that guys don't run away from people in the league. Like, guys don't run away from man coverage open, right? What was the comment he made a couple weeks ago? Like, it's not like guys are just running open
right,
in the league.
Right, that's right.
Which
every team in the league has guys that are running open.
Including the Bills sometimes, and the Bills are not really finding them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more than just the receiver that's the problem. 803-0550. We're talking a little today about, well, lots of things, including the solutions. I want to continue to do that. I mean, we could sit here and yell about the problems all day. We've done it for a while. But solutions and how to get the best out of Josh Allen, because as long as they have him, if he goes nuclear mode, which we've seen him do before, then you know maybe they get it back. The question is, are there enough supporters in the cast to do it?
Speaking of the Giants, by the way, they just announced their starting quarterback for this week.
Okay. Jameis. Oh, man, let's go.
Dart's got a concussion.
You're supposed to tell me who they want as their head coach.
The Giants. Who do the Giants want as their head coach? Did you think you figured it out?
Let me think for a minute.
He's a current head coach in the National Football League.
John Mara is going to want who as a head coach? He's going to want Tomlin.
No. That's a good one.
Did you see the report out of Pittsburgh from Mark Caboli, who covers the Steelers?
No.
That if they wanted to fire Tomlin, they probably won't because the draft is in Pittsburgh this year and they don't want that hanging over the franchise.
Firing Tomlin?
Yeah.
Aren't the fans there upset that he's still the coach?
Some. Anyway, who do the Giants want?
They want Kevin Stefanski.
That's a good idea.
They want Kevin Stefanski. Actually, his contract might even be up.
That's a great idea.
I'll look that up. But he might be available, and that's who the Giants want.
Rick in Texas. Hey, Rick, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Rick, how are you?
Good. Long-time listener, I have you guys and Chopin Bulldog and Tasker and Salon probably 6 to 8 hours a day. So I am always listening. I'm always on. I'm always listening to rewinds of what you've done. And I love the program. That's why I do that.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to try to paint a picture here. And it's a little crazy, so just give me a minute. It's Josh Allen, it's McDermott, and it's Bean sitting in a room having a cup of coffee. And someone brings up Everyone Eats. And what's associated with that? You know, we're going to have lower-tier receivers, and they're not going to be able to separate the greatest, but we're going to bring a lot of them in, a lot of old names like Nicole Hardman and some of the old people. We're going to call it Everyone Eats, and we're going to not complete a lot of longer passes, and that's going to be a key part of our offense. It reminds me of a John Lovett skit, the skits that he used to do on Saturday Night Live, where he played the liar. And he would propose something really nutty, and then he'd get into it a little more, a little more, and a little more, and he tried to get people to believe that. Who would ever believe today that that kind of a method of playing offense could ever be successful?
Well, thanks, Rick. I think it can be successful. It was very successful last year. The you know, the problem is, I don't know, if they feel like you have to win a certain way. I don't want to act like what the Bills have been doing this last year and a half has not ever been successful. It has. The question is, I guess, is it the best plan?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the best approach? And we'll talk to Joe Marino coming up at the top of the hour. Joe pointed out yesterday on Twitter, he was tweeting out stats about Josh Allen's deep throw percentage. And here we are talking about the deep ball, right, and how the Bills' passing offense lacks those 20-yard completions. However, Josh is still hunting down the field. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's always been a part of this too. Like you can credit Allen for how great he's been reinventing himself into the West Coast passer, balls out quick, timing, precision. But, you know, like in his heart of hearts, don't we think he does want to rip the ball down the field? And he's been more disciplined. He's been great. It's always been, whatever, I've always felt that they can't completely take that away from him. He's going to want to do that. So I would always have wanted someone to help him with that when the urge strikes, that's okay, baby. We got a guy that runs a 4-2 that's deep past the defense, and he's open by 4 yards or whatever, a mm-hmm. separator at the second level. It's always been about a separator at the second level because he's going to want to throw that. When he, you know, we could point to all these like anecdotal examples of the deep ball to Pat DeMarco against Houston, and even Jackson Hawes right. on fourth down. Like there's so many times yep. where you can see Allen turning down something to hunt for a bigger piece, and there are two answers to that, Joe. One is be more disciplined, take what's there. The other is why don't we give him some more options that are better, so when he wants to hunt for the bigger piece, right. we can get it.
I'm going to pass on talking about injuries since Rich, he's not here, has all the answers. So you guys can get all the injuries from Rich. Well, I'm telling you that's Rich. Well, you better call him.
No disrespect to you or Rich, but like we want to hear from you. You know, like
You guys have been hearing from me, but now since we're just reporting stuff, you know, that I haven't said, then maybe you should ask him.
Ed is New York Jets head coach Aaron Glenn, and boy, his first year has not been a good ride at all.
The Jets? No way.
I know. No matter how good the idea,
yeah,
the New York Jets find a way to go, but what if it was with the Jets?
Yeah, let's see how
I love
much
this idea,
screw this up.
But what can we do to make it worse?
I love the Aaron Glenn hire for them. I thought he was somebody that could bring in a better culture for them, quote-unquote adults in the room sort of deal. No, it's been the exact opposite. It has been a tire fire there kind of from day one, because now you look back to even the handling of Aaron Rodgers seems now more petty than anything. And mm-hmm. this clip kind of points to that might be more his nature. I don't know.
It might have been Aaron Glenn actually just deciding.
That's him. That's who he is as a guy.
Yeah.
And now here, he's getting upset because reporters tweeting on injuries. And now he's going to make everybody else uncomfortable. I it's so weird and just kind of off-putting.
Not everything has to be a fight, especially when you're 2-7.
Well, and that's my thing too. Take a look in the mirror. There's a reason why people are going to be more critical. You're 2-7. You started the year 0-7. Your quarterback can't throw more than 70 yards. He got 41 of, like, what, Justin Fields threw 55 yards. He got 41 of them off a Breece Hall pass. There's a reason why, man.
And, again, not everything has to be a fight. That's the thing. Glenn has become so combative over, like, quite literally anything at this point. Because this is not the first time he's done this year.
No.
Like, all you have to do is just settle in, man. Know that the questions are going to be a little rough. You signed up for this. You don't need to fight back every time. You're in year one. Pace yourself, man.
Right. It makes some friends in the media. I mean, it gets some allies here.
Not even that.
It's just he's picking a fight with everyone. Well, but
it's pace yourself, too, though.
But if next year they're not good, he hasn't got anyone in the media sitting there go, guys, give him time. Like I know the vision. I've talked to him. He's going to have a bunch of people going, yeah, I can't wait to get him out. Good. Yeah. Let's go. Let's pick up the process here.
I'm just more or less at the dog. It's year one.
And you're right. Pace yourself.
Pace yourself.
Oh, just
Yeah, it's the Jets. I mean, what's even surprising at this point? They're going to have two firsts next year and three in 27, and they'll probably botch it somehow, some way. 803-0550, the number to call. We were talking Bills in the first hour. We took a little bit of a detour there with Paul Hamilton. Talk the Sabres tonight as they are in action in Utah. But we will get back to the phones, and we'll start this segment off with Sean on the line. Sean, what's going on, my man?
How's it going, Zach? Hope you guys are having a good day.
You as well.
Thank you. All right, so let me premise this conversation. I'll try not to be long-winded. Let's both agree. We are in agreement that Joe Brady was the passing game. Let me say this again. The passing game coordinator at LSU when they set all the records, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So let's go into this real quick. I am not like a fandom. I'm more of an analytics guy and a film guy, and I actually watch this stuff, this all 22 stuff. So to get to the point, I watched NFL Live the other day when Orlovsky was breaking down, and I'm going to piggyback off the last caller that was actually talking about before you guys went to Paul Hamilton. But basically, the route concepts are plain. This is the passing game coordinator, not the running game coordinator. This is a passing game coordinator for Joe Burrow. Pass game concepts are vanilla. They're non-creative anymore. So my point was, I'm glad, even though there were reports that they were in on Olave or Waddle or whoever, this wouldn't have made any difference if we would have spent all these first-round picks or whatever we were going to give for these people, because they wouldn't have been able to come in here in a half a year, get up to speed on Joe Brady's system. Like, they need to – I feel like they need to put more on the players – as far as play calling is concerned. So in other words, Joe Brady, if his stuff is becoming vanilla, man, like after 6 weeks or something like that, start switching up your pass route concepts. Stop it with the deep overs or the layer concepts and stuff like that. And that's what Orlovsky broke down on NFL Live that I was like really intrigued with. And he said even when they go to checks at the line and stuff like that, it's like two different plays. That's it. There's no creativity. So in my opinion, I'm glad they didn't spend anything on a receiver, because all that did would have hemmed us up for the next couple years without having draft picks. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, either he gets better as a creative play caller and not be so vanilla where defenses finally know and they're catching up to him, or B, you fire the guy and you get a passing game coordinator in here and then you go after the assets. That's all I wanted to say, guys. Hope you have a great day, and interested to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Sean, thanks, appreciate that.
You know what's funny about Brady, too, is you bring up passing game coordinator. I mean, ignited a fire in college football. It is, the 2019 LSU offense is still the most fun and aggressive and stylish offense I've ever seen. It was just deep bomb after deep bomb after deep. Everybody's open. There's first-round talent and all-pro talent everywhere. It's incredible. And Brady, in many aspects, is considered the architect of that. He's not the OC, and he's not even really the full-time play caller, but he is considered by many the main architect. And then he goes to Carolina. And what does he get fired in Carolina for? Passing the ball too much. Matt Rhule wanted him to run the ball more. And they weren't running it enough. It was putting too much strain on their defense. They weren't a good team, but they were passing the ball a ton. Curtis Samuel has a career year with Joe Brady.
As a matter of fact,
it is, weirdly enough, just a Buffalo thing where all of a sudden the boundary receivers is a real problem. He can't get any use out of them. It's becoming very vanilla. I mentioned this too. Like, Dan Orlovsky is not the only one that's brought this up. Greg Cosell, when he goes on One Bills Live, has acknowledged the passing concepts are not very good. It is very strange, because I will never forget when Brady was hired following his firing. I was taking over for Joe DiBiase, who at the time was producing, and we were switching out. And we both looked at each other and went, that's the heir. He will be the Bills offensive coordinator at some point, and thank goodness. Like, we were excited for that guy.
Yep.
And now that he's taken over, it has been very weird that it is not the passing game that has all of a sudden reignited itself. Because the LSU Joe Brady and even the Carolina Joe Brady, you would have thought, give me all the receivers, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I work
with.
Load me up. And instead, it has been much more of ground and pound, control the line of scrimmage, and dominate with the run game and limit possessions. And I think that has been him, because you go back to Sean McDermott's comments from the last few weeks. He's not happy with the passing game. He has mentioned not wanting to lose the fastball in years past with wide receivers. It is such a curiosity with Brady. And it is also something that does make me more concerned going long term of, dude, what happened? This was not the Joe Brady that was built up to eventually become an offensive coordinator with Carolina and is now still being looked at as potentially the next head coach for LSU. That's why they want him. It's 2019. But 2019 feels so – I mean, it is long ago, but it feels forever ago
at this point. It feels forever ago. And I think that some of this also has to do with – I don't want to go ahead and bash what he did at LSU, but – he does have incredible talent on that roster.
It does help. That is fair. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow will help things. That's absolutely true.
And I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not a good pro running back, but he was fantastic at LSU.
Mm-hmm. And Thaddeus Moss at tight end.
Yes.
Randy Moss's son.
Yeah, so all I need to think of at this point is there is something to the coaching. Brady has shown to be almost unimaginative at times or predictable in others. Can they win, though? Yes. Things do have to go right. They have a dominant run game. That gets you somewhere in January.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm not saying running the ball is bad. I'm saying that when your entire offense is predicated on if your running back is getting off and you have an MVP quarterback, that's a problem.
The only problem here is they've become the wrong kind of one-dimensional when you have Josh Allen this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's weird. It's survivable in games. You can still succeed. But I'm sure as hell going to look at it and go, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that James Cook has to be the one that succeeds in order for this offense to get going and not Josh Allen? I don't know. I don't like it. It's weird. It can work in January, but it's weird. And I think that that alone is enough to get people concerned. It's weird.
That, I mean, yeah, like ultimately it would be one thing if your quarterback was Daniel Jones.
Right.
All of a sudden it's, hey, we need to kind of build a system around him to cover up his flaws and to make sure we're not putting ourselves in bad situations. Jonathan Taylor. They've also loaded up with weapons there, and we're also seeing,
they have tons of pretty good receivers there.
And there's moments where Daniel Jones looks awesome and you're like, oh man, like it was all the Giants' fault. Recently, though, not so much. You know, Jared Goff. With the Rams, I think is a really good example of this. Early in his career, who is the bell cow for that Rams offense? Who is the engine that gets that baby going? It's Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley in those early Sean McVay, Jared Goff years is the guy. He gets that baby moving. But they also had Robert Woods, who kind of entered his prime. They had Tavon Austin, I think, as well. They had good weapons all around, and it was able to keep going. That's my biggest issue. It's not the fact that they are running the ball and that James Cook is good. Far from it. Good. They need elite players on the offense.
It's that when he's not.
They don't have another option. When I look at the Lions, they want to run the ball. They can also throw the ball. The Rams are one of those teams as well. Philadelphia last year, they're weird. It's up in it every year. They are
Kevin
different.
Patullo is a bad offensive coordinator. He should not count for any analysis this year.
But a team that they're about to play when they're healthy, Tampa is more than happy to run the ball with Bucky Irving. They also have a plethora of wide receivers and a passing game that allows them to, when they go up against a team like the Bills are going to go up against Tampa, who have only given up 100 total rushing yards three times this year, they can sit there and go, cool, it's going to be the passing game today.
Carolina also gave up less than 50 yards in a three-game stretch, mm-hmm. like per game.
Yeah.
And they decimated that. So it's all about, can the Bills just execute it in the run game? It is the problem that this offensive coordinator has suddenly turned the key component of the offense into the running back.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everything.
everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Time now for Excuse Me, Mr. Tasker, presented by Total Sports Enterprises, the official and exclusive autograph merchandise partner of the Buffalo Bills. We have fans submit their questions for a story from Hall of Famer Steve Tasker. Winners will receive a premium mystery box of signed items. Could be a signed picture, helmet, football, or even a current player's signed jersey. Rules do apply, so visit BuffaloBills.com/TSE Tasker. And if you did not win, you can check out TSEBuffalo.com or Activation Tents during Bills home games to get yours. Question this week comes from Mark, who says, Marv Levy is a veteran who served in World War II. What was your favorite Marv story or slogan he used to inspire the team? Thank you for your service, Marv.
Yeah, well, Marv came in one time when we were a good team. There was a lot of expectations, but there was a stretch of the season where it was going to be three really good teams, and they were all on the road in a row, in succession. The schedule worked out that way. You know, we always have these conversations in the offseason about the schedule, how it's going to be, and where. And it was one of those years. And Marv comes in before we go to the first preseason game, on that first road trip for that stretch of three games. He comes in on that Monday and says, listen, we got these three games. This is what the narrative is. People have been talking about it. He goes, let me tell you a story. And he starts in on this in 1937 or 38, Germany had the greatest war machine the world has ever known. It was the best trained soldiers. It was the highest technology available at the time. It was led by experts in warfare. The German high command was absolutely top-notch in their strategic advantage. It was backed by an entire nation, well-funded. It was just an absolute machine, and it was something that the world had never known. He said, but that was in 1938 or something, whatever he said. And he said, but in 1943, Berlin was in ruins. Bombed to the ground, it was in rubble, and the country itself didn't exist as it did. And he said, and you know why? And of course, we're sitting there, football players, and you know, 19, we're like, no, why? And he said, because Hitler couldn't win on the road. I'm like, okay.
Chiefly in Russia.
Right. So, it was in February of 43 when, you know, Russia got the 6th Army of Germany
and surrounded,
and that was it. And once that happened, then it was all over for Germany. It was just a question of time. And, you know, the Allies took Berlin, and it was all over. That was Marv's – and he was a notorious historian, and used it a lot to his advantage that. And it stuck with me, obviously, because I'm hearing him decades later recounting this analogy of why Hitler lost World War II, because he couldn't win on the road.
I think I was at the press conference when he said, somebody asked him about a big game you guys had coming up, and they asked, is this a must win? He goes, no, it's not a must win. World War II was a must win.
Right. He was great.
Yeah.
He's great. He was just an absolute great communicator. His intellect was as sharp as a tack, got a great sense of humor, and he used his gifts to great advantage. He wasn't one of these tall, big, intimidating guy. You know, like, he wasn't a Bill Parcells presence or a John Madden presence on the sidelines, but he was a communicator and a leader, and he was the kind of human being we all aspired to be, full of integrity and honesty and good humor and well-loved and smart. He was, you know, and his vision was one we all wanted to join in with, and that's, you know, that's how he taught us what real leadership was. It was being the kind of human being people wanted to join forces with.
So that is, excuse me, Mr. Tasker. Going to get back to the phones, though, at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We do want to remind you, though, that the Bills game isn't the only exciting thing happening in Orchard Park this weekend. Come on out to Total Sports Buffalo this Saturday, November 15th, to meet Doug Flutie, Max Hairston, Dion Walker. Grab autographed tickets now at tsebuffalo.com under the Upcoming Signings tab, and they'll see you this weekend. But back to the phones we go, and to Steve in Amherst. What's up, Steve?
What I saw was Josh Allen dropping back with an empty backfield, and that worried me because Josh was not able to do as well as I hoped with an empty backfield. So I see the receivers are being recovered, so we get the Milli Vanilli and we get that short pass. But also, defensively, I was hoping, because we're down to playing Bosa with one hand and being injured so bad, that maybe they privately would say, okay, we got a problem with our defensive line due to depletion of injury factors here. So why not maybe try to get a little bit, 10-15% of our plays and blitz and try to get something going momentum wise. And that's it with me. I'm clear.
All right.
Wants more blitzing on defense to kickstart the momentum.
Maybe right, Steve.
I mean, sure. I mean, you want to do it? Go ahead. I think this is a defensive system that's predicated on getting pressure with their front four. If they are really struggling in a particular game to accomplish that, they will call blitzes if necessary. And unfortunately, the pass rush was rounding into form between the Carolina and the Kansas City game. Not coincidentally, when Hoyt and Ogunjobi got back in the lineup in those two games, they had 10 sacks and 24 quarterback hits. And then Hoyt pops his Achilles. He's out for the year, and you lose an energy player, a catalyst for the pass rush.
After having lost another energy player in Ed Oliver.
Yeah. So that's what's working against you there. And, you know, they adopt the next guy up mentality, but at its crux, the NFL is a matchup league, and you need talented players to match up. And on defense, the Bills are shorthanded in terms of those players that give you a matchup advantage. And they're just going to have to do the best they can with who they've got.
It seems right now that the Bills individually, you know, they can do the best you can expect, really, is, like, let's hold our own individually. Like, if they're going to match up with me, I got to hold my own and hope somebody else can come help. I mean, they've got to rally to the football. This last week, we saw a ton of missed tackles as well. There's a lot of conversation after the Miami game about that, and rightfully so. I'd like to, if you can fix that, you'll go a long way towards playing a little bit better defensively as well. Missed tackles are, that's hard to overcome. And they didn't overcome it this last weekend. It ultimately was what did them in, even though they went into the fourth quarter 16-0. Missed tackles were the problem for the defense. Really the main problem, I thought, for the defense through three quarters of that game.
Bills are still top 10 in pressure rate. They've got 25 sacks on the season in 9 games. So that's almost 3 a game. They blitz 21% of the time, which is about the 22nd highest rate in the league. So they don't blitz a lot, and they're still getting production. 25 sacks, 26 quarterback knockdowns, 80 pressures. So they're doing okay in light of the circumstances. Would they like to get the quarterback on the ground a little bit more? Obviously. But I think in light of who they've had and who they haven't had in the lineup, they're not doing too bad. But maybe that's just me. To Rick in California next. What's up, Rick?
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking the call, sirs.
Sure.
So I do have a coaching question for you to start, and then I have a statement. But my coaching question, I know Daboll is out of work now, and I don't think he'll be unemployed for too long. But I wanted to call you guys last summer and talk to you about this question. What if, by chance, we take Brian Daboll and make him a co-head coach / offensive coordinator and make Sean McDermott the co-head coach / OC? Because it looks like Daboll can get the best out of Josh Allen that we've seen so far in the past. And not for nothing, but last week's game, as horrible as it was not the defensive side of the ball's fault.
Right.
I blame that loss. I do blame that loss completely on Josh Allen, and I'll tell you why. If Josh Allen does not fumble that ball or just throw that end zone interception straight to the Dolphins defender, I honestly believe we win that game. You know, but I believe the offense is really hindering our defense and setting them up for failure because we can't stay on the field and sustain them. And our guys are just so gassed. And I don't even hold the defense liable for those two breakoff runs at the end of the game because our offense put them in that position. So I think our defense is okay, but I think our offense and Josh Allen is definitely getting hamstrung by the play calling. I don't know if it's Joe Brady or not, but I know if we had Dable back to kind of bleed in his ear and scream him like he did, we'll get the best performance again out of Josh Allen while the years he's still healthy and we can get the most out of him. But right now, I don't know what it is with him. He's definitely, whenever he gets frustrated at all and he turns into, oh my gosh, I got to put the cape on Josh Allen, it goes one of two ways, either horrific or, awesome. But without that, kind of the talking into his ear and the intensity, whenever you see Josh Allen go to the sideline, all you ever see is him slam his helmet down and slap on his baseball cap, and he's not getting in anybody's face or trying to rile people up. I need to see more of that from Josh Allen. So I just want to know what you guys think about the Daboll thing and the hindrance of the Josh Allen. And one more question. Is there any way, does Josh Allen ever get to call his own plays, like maybe for a series of the game or something? Do the coaches say, this is your series, go ahead and call it like you see it and let's see what happens? What do you think, guys?
All right, thanks, Bills. Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
A lot in there. I don't think he does call his own plays very much, if at all. I think there are options within plays because usually he gets two in his headset, especially when they're doing the RPO stuff. And sometimes he can call his own number there, but outside of that, I don't think he does. It's largely called by the OC. And then as far as riling people up, Steve talked about this earlier this week. If you have to get teammates, and as a coach you have to get players juiced up to play, you don't have the right players on your team. As Steve has said many times, it's got to come from within. It takes an awful lot of self-motivation just to get to this level of football. And once you're here, you shouldn't be taking it out of gear and loafing on a game. So if it takes a lot to get you going, that's on you. Not on your teammates, not on your coaches, not on anybody else. You get paid a lot of money to perform.
Yeah, you can hang the loss last week in Miami on Josh if you want. He's got big shoulders, he can take it, but he's out there trying to win. If he wasn't fumbling the ball yet, the ball got punched down in that quarterback sneak. We've talked about the turnovers. We absolutely put I put probably more than anybody else on the losses of this year to the turnovers. And if you're the guy that turns it over, yeah, okay, take the loss then. That's what you sign up for as a quarterback. You can blame him for that. But if you're going to tell me that this offense is the reason that this team, or whatever you're telling me about the offense, you're telling me you're not blaming the defense for that. Listen, the offense is the engine of this team. You can say what you want about this game last week. The offense is the engine of this team. The defense had a nice game this last week, no question about it. And I said the exact same thing you did about their performance last week. I thought it was way above what we could have expected from them. And they were gassed in those last two long runs, no question about it. And it was the turnovers that did that to the offense, not allowing them to put points on the board to give the defense a chance or a cushion to play or a lead to play with and put some pressure back on the Miami offense. That's something we've talked about. But to say that this season that they're 6-3 because of their defense, that is a stretch. That's a stretch.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.